to Stacy and Stephen review the Mae Young Classic Round 2. I'm Stephen Graham.
And I'm Stacy. Sorry. I already put
dramatic
myself
on the pause.
Building suspense. Is it stationary?
It is. I could have replaced you. Maybe. No. Probably not.
Wow, that's
I'd have to find another Stacy,
though. You can't
replace me
for this show.
Like, Stephen and Stacy. I don't know any other Stacys that watch wrestling, is the problem.
Well, then I guess you're stuck with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. So.
And this is the most coherent I will be the entire time as well.
Fine. So, 2 weeks ago, we did this show and we said we'd be back probably at the finals, to review the, to preview the finals unless something crazy happened in the second round, which, kind of did.
Guess what?
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of did.
It fucking ruled. So we were so excited we had to come back to talk about the second round. So let's do that. Okay. I don't remember what our predictions were, though, so I don't know who won the prediction side of it.
No, I think I'd remember if we go through them. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't... Yeah.
Well, let's find out. So, the first match of the second round... We're just going to do this in order, because why not?
Yeah.
We had... Oh, man, two of my favorite wrestlers, Toni Storm and the Lady Godzilla, Hiroyu Matsumoto.
Everyone's new favorite wrestler.
It should be.
Even when she came out, even Renee and Beth were marking out about it as well. So, like, they're on the bandwagon too. Everyone should be.
She's had such great charisma and personality, besides being awesome in the ring. Like, yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Completely.
And so, like I said last time, I'm so sad that one of them had to lose here.
I know, and then, like,
and
later
like,
on...
I knew it would be her.
Yeah. But it was a hell of a match, though, between the two.
Oh, yeah, it banged.
Oh, my God.
It was so good.
It was,
Toni rolling around in her holds to start off with, and then they just started banging shit. Like,
yeah, this was stiff.
Yeah, yeah, speaking of stiff, late in the match, excuse me, Hiroyo comes off the ropes and runs at Toni, and Toni stops her with her head. She just fucking, like, into a headbutt, just launches her head at a person running full pelt at her. Like,
yeah, it was
really... Oh my God, that was sick. And
what a ridiculous...
Oh God, they just started dropping
headbutt.
Bombs.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was like trying to headbutt like a train. Like, why would you do that to yourself? But it was, yeah, it just got stiffer and stiffer as it went along. And then I really... My favorite part about this match was, like, the final third, where, like, Hiroyo really took over and just started hitting move after move after move on Toni, and Toni had to keep kicking out, and there was, like, that big near fall where she, like, just got her foot under the rope and everything, and it was just, it was all Hiroyo, and she had all this momentum, and Toni was just hanging on, and, like, going for roll-ups and shit, and then finally she got that roll-up and then bridged over and just sort of squeaked out that pin. And it was very much as if she, like, just survived her, which was really cool. And a really good way to put Hiroyo over as well, because Hiroyo really, like, looked awesome the entire time.
Well, yeah, how are you going to fight a Godzilla? Like, you can just survive. That's your only option.
Well, exactly, yeah.
But what I liked about this, it really set the tone. You know, the first round, there's a lot of matches. You know they're going to be kind of quick. But, like... It let us know early on that there's going to be a lot of sprints. Like, this went 9 minutes. It might have been one of the longest matches of the second round, but they went for it quickly. Like, this wasn't a long drawn out, you know, work the holds, you know, build it up. This was, we're gunning, and they did gun, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and for 9 minutes, they packed a whole lot into 9 minutes. And it really, like, it felt longer than it was, even though they were, like you said, like, working a really fast pace and, like, just cramming everything in. But it was, yeah, really good. And like you said, yeah, set the tone for the rest of the rest of the round, and definitely the rest of that show in particular.
Yeah. And normally when someone says it felt longer, or it felt longer, that's usually like an insult. But this was
complimentary. Yeah, I mean in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for real. Yeah, it felt like a longer, sort
like
of more
that was only 9 minutes.
Worn out match. Yeah. Like, yeah, like I was surprised. Like, when you said that, I was like, huh, 9 minutes. And then like, it makes sense because they're like cramming all these matches into these shows. But yeah, they packed a lot into it. Yeah.
Wait till I tell you the length of the Miko match. So look forward to that.
Oh. Can't wait.
So that was awesome. Dave Meltzer, 3.5 stars. If one was Tanahashi, it would have been, 7? But whatever. We'll move on.
No, it's Omega that he stands. Omega and Okada.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's Omega.
Anyway.
Yeah. Let's not, okay, that's my only dig on Meltzer, even though he only gave Miko 3.75. So, anyways. Next up, we got Rhea Ripley versus
my girl.
The girl's name I can't say. Casey Catanzaro?
Yes, Catanzaro. You're right.
Awesome. So, no one told me that Casey was a luchador in disguise. But she fucking is Rey Mysterio.
Oh my god, she's Rey Mysterio.
Like, when did this girl's had like 2 matches in her career?
It pretty much happened like sometime in the last 2 weeks since we saw her the first time.
Yeah. But like,
basically,
the high flying she did was stuff I don't think I've really seen before or very often. Like that slingshot, from like the inside rope in as a dive. Like, that's insane. Oh, I don't even know what that is. But
I still don't know how it's possible that she can do that.
I know.
I've seen it twice now, and I'm still just like, bit physics. Like,
and then like, that DDT is like, the famous Ray Eddie match from Halloween Havoc where Ray hits that DDT out of nowhere and it's insane. Like, that's what this felt like.
That's what that was. Like, I still remember to this day where I was when I first saw Rey Mysterio do the 2 trips around the world tornado DDT. And because I'm young and it wasn't Halloween Havoc, it was him versus Morrison on SmackDown in 2009.
Okay.
And I, like, completely, like, fell out of my tree. Like, I lost my shit. And seeing her do that just, like, on telly like that, and she's been wrestling for, like, all of 5 minutes. Like, that was insane. I marked so hard.
Like, what is she gonna be like in a year?
Oh, like, seriously. Like, and I said this the first time. Like, I said this after round one. Like, she literally has the highest ceiling of anyone in this tournament, because, oh my god. Like, imagine when she actually gets good. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but, like, do you think she's going to still be doing these insane high spots? Or is she going to, like, I don't know. I don't know what she's going to be or how she's going to do it.
Well, the thing is, I think that because she has such a strong, like, gymnastics background and athletic background, like, she can, like, once she develops and, like, keeps wrestling and stuff like that, she can probably add moves, like, at will. You know what I mean? Like, just come up with crazy shit off the ropes and dives and stuff. And she'll be able to pull them off just because she has such a strong gymnastics base. And yeah, she's gonna be insane. Like, it's nuts. And I, like, yeah, go on.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, she feels like one of those people, like, when Rey came out or Sabu or just like someone comes along that you might just be seeing something new every time you see her. And
yeah,
something you've never seen before, but not like in the, what's his name? Nova from ECW way where it sucks.
Yeah.
So.
I just watched Nova on ECW, so I get that.
Oh, did you?
okay. Yeah, like literally last week I saw my first Nova match. So.
How'd that
anyway,
go?
Anyway.
I want to talk about Nova now.
No, we don't have time for that.
Okay. But she's facing something you like.
Yeah, Casey literally is Rey Mysterio. It's not, and I think, and the thing as well about Casey is that she still is very green and still did start wrestling 5 minutes ago. So, like, sometimes she's not going to pull this shit off. And we saw that in this match where, like, there were a couple of times where she botched it on the ropes. But, like, I think it's not a bad thing. You know, like, I mean, obviously it didn't come off, but, like, it's not a bad thing because, like, that's what you expect from someone who is that new. And they keep saying how new she is to wrestling. And so it makes sense that she can't pull things off every single time. It's like Sabu, like, botching half of his shit because he's mental. And just, you know, and he's just going insane. Like, yeah. That makes sense to me. And I hate people who rag on Sabu for botching it when, like, that's his whole fucking gimmick. With Casey, like, the whole point is that she's brand new and trying to pull off these crazy acrobatic moves. She's literally just learned, like, yesterday. Like, of course she's not going to pull it off every time. And I think, and the great thing was that, like, the crowd went with her. And, like, when she first went for the inside springboard, she fucked it up. And then she got it back, and then she went, and she was like, no, I'm going to do this again. I have to do this. I'm going to do this again. The crowd was like, yeah, come on, do it again. They went with her and didn't kind of like, you know, they weren't assholes that were chanting you fucked up at her.
Well,
you know?
There's a difference.
So I thought that was really nice.
There's a big difference between I've got to redo this move because it's part of the story and I fucked up, and I'm an athlete who tried something that didn't work, but I'm going to try it again. Like, in storyline.
Exactly. Yeah, it came off. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I need to redo this spot because, you know, we're robots. Like, it was because, you know, no, I'm determined to pull this move off because I know it's a good move and I need to get this done. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was like, you know, I need to hit this move to try and beat her. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, so I really liked that about the whole thing.
Yeah. Speaking of botches, I'm going to plug my other podcast, Who Booked This? The next episode coming out Monday is we did the Monster Mash Battle Royal from ECW.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And
yes.
Big Daddy V and Kane botch a side suplex, a sidewalk slam, so horribly that I've never seen before, and then try it again and botch it up even worse. It's unbelievable. So, tune in.
That's so fantastic. I've forgotten about that.
Tune in to Pro Wrestling Only to check that out. Do you have anything to plug on Pro Wrestling Only? You haven't been doing much lately.
No, I don't really do anything on Pro Wrestling Only apart from this. So I can't plug that. I got the Divas Deep Dive
that's on writing Place to Be Nation.
Series every week on Place to Be Nation.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Enemy.
So that's my plug. Okay. And not the enemy, we're friends.
We split like Peace Hollywood and the Wolf Pack, didn't we? I'm Wolf Pack for life, and they're Hollywood.
Okay. I just want everyone to be friends. Okay.
We are. We're all good.
Everyone just get along. I love Pro Wrestling Only. I love Place to Be, and yeah, the only thing I have to plug is my writing on Place to Be Nation. So there you go.
And split because it was confusing. That's the only reason. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm once again confused, so.
Yeah, it's all good. So Rhea Ripley, we didn't really talk about, but she was in the match and she was a really good base for her. So I give her credit for that. And she has a lot of good attitude and she looked good again.
I just can't with Rhea. Rhea is the fucking guy. Like, she's just so good. It's annoying me. She was great. She was a great base, and she really tried super hard to, like, bump like a madman for all Casey's shit when she started hitting her with stuff. Like, there was that bump she took out of the ring. I think it was when Casey did, like, the tornado dive on her. Like, just randomly bust out of the tornado. She did that, and Rhea took this bump on the floor and then, like, got up and, like, tried swinging at someone, you know, the big punch drug swinging selling. And I was like, oh, that's cool, I like that. So yeah, I thought, yeah, Rhea, like, did really good bumping for all her stuff. She looked really good beating the shit out of her, my god. Like, hitting those crazy moves. And then, like, when she picked her up in that submission hold and was literally, like, holding her in the air while she had the sub on, yeah, like, the cloverleaf or whatever it was, like, she was literally just, like, hanging in midair. It was great. But, yeah, and there was that moment. I don't know what move she hit on her, but, like, Rhea did something and then turned to the hard cam and, like, lifted her eyebrow like The Rock. And I was like, oh, my God. I literally just fell in love in that moment. Like, it was amazing. So, yeah, Rhea's like, Casey's really good. This whole thing just fucking banged like I thought it would. And, yes, everyone rules. Casey is Rey Jr. and Rhea is the guy. The end.
The end. I like it. So this show
Thank
was...
Thank you for listening to my...
This show was off to a fucking start, I gotta say. There was the next match, which only went 2.5 minutes. It was Lacey Lane and Tenora Conti. Conti, I'm perplexed by her. Like, I can't tell if she has, like, amazing character work or if she's, like, trying too hard. There's, like, a weird line that she's crossing that I'm not 100% sure on. But she has the cool judo throws, which I really like. But this was like 2 minutes and Lacey Lane got a upset win, I guess. It was the low point of the show, but it was still fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, something had to be the low point of the show, and it was just super, super short. But, I mean, I'm fine with this match going short after all this to make room for everything else. Yeah, and I was very surprised they put Lacey over. I thought Conti would win. It's when you look at the next match, because the winner of this faces Mako, and like, you would think Conti would be a better matchup for Mako, you know, like it's, but I suppose that because Lacey has all that hometown support, maybe they want to, like, you know, give her like the fairy tale run. I don't know, but yeah, but like, I mean, it was fine for a 2 minute match. Like, I mean, I'm all about 2 minute women's matches. Look at me. I'm the divas expert, but yeah, the one thing I wanted to mention about this was, like, I really liked when Lacey was in the corner and Conchi was trying to drag her out and she wouldn't go, and so she just kicked the fuck out of her hand on the ropes. Like, just like an absolute asshole. It was so good. Yeah, like Conchi, I come down on the side of I like her character work.
Some weeks I do, I'm buying into it. It's hit or miss for me.
I'm buying in because in this match, she, like, looked legitimately fucking crazy, and I was digging it. So, I don't know. Yeah, so I'm pro-Conchi at this point.
I think it's the entrance for me. Like, okay, the way she takes off her jacket but leaves on the belt, there's something about it that's, I don't know. And then she, like, holds up her judo belt like it's a, like she won it in a wrestling match. Like, it's weird to me.
Like, it's a title.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I forgive people for their entrances in this company because, like,
that's true.
Literally everyone comes in and has to have a stupid rehearsed entrance, and that's, I don't like it, but what's, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. And because she's on NXT, you know, she's actually, like, you know, has an actual entrance and, you know, is used to sort of going through those motions, which I think in this context, like, of people just kind of walking out with random music for a tournament and not having big elaborate WWE entrances, like, it's really weird seeing someone go through their entrance motions in this context, because then they just come off, like, kind of silly. Like,
yeah, I think that might be the contrast. Like, I don't think I've ever felt this on NXT.
Like, if it was on NXT.
Yeah,
if it was on NXT and she came out with her real entrance and everything and everyone else was doing it, it wouldn't maybe seem so goofy. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's I don't think it bugged me in NXT. So I think it's just here. So yeah, this must be a context thing. But let's talk about the match for the reason that we're doing this podcast. Miko Satomura, Mercedes Martinez. This to me, like, I was rewatching it just now, and it's, what's really cool about it is it kind of felt like, okay, here's that ace of Japan for the last decade. Here's the ace of American indies for the last decade. And let's just unleash them. And they both delivered. But, like, I want you to guess how long this match went.
I will guess, like, 11 minutes.
11 and a half. Pretty good.
Oh, bang, nailed it. And I think I was prepared because we're all just like, these matches are surprisingly short. Yeah. And so I was like prepared to like scale down.
But it felt
Well, yeah, it felt longer in a really good way.
It felt like an epic.
Again.
Right. And one thing I liked about it, and this is something that's consistent with a lot of the matches I really like, is when I go to rewatch it, the first little bit, you're like, oh yeah, it's good, but it's not as good as I remember. And it just kind of ramps up. And it, by the end, it's the best thing ever. So it's kind of something I really enjoy. And
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I know what you mean. Exactly. I know what you mean. I had that thought too. Cause like it, yeah, when you watch the beginning, it's like not much is happening, but it's kind of like, it's not what happened, but how it happened.
Yeah.
Because like, even in the beginning, like I felt like the struggle that they were showing over like the holds when they were going in and out of holds and all that was like really, really cool. And it was very, very snug and like clearly at a level above what other people were doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And I think Nico gets the credit she deserves. Like she is well praised everywhere, but I don't think Mercedes really gets that talk. Like, to me, if you've seen her, you know, throughout the world, this year, you know, you could easily make a case she's a top 10 wrestler in the world this year. And if you, you know, look at the last 10 years, you know, she's up there with anyone really. Like, I think it's, Sam from We Don't Know Wrestling. I think he's doing, a poll for the top wrestlers of the 2010s. So I guess it's a couple years away, but they're prepping now. And
yeah,
Mercedes Martinez she's easily making my list and she'll do really well. And she really deserves more credit. Like from the time she started in like 2004, three, whatever it was, she's a great talent and she's kind of gone under the radar because the way women's wrestling was treated and indie, women's wrestling not really getting much of a showcase. She's really underrated. And if you should go back and watch more of her stuff. Shimmer's got a streaming service now. So sign up for that and, watch some more Mercedes because she's fucking awesome. And she showed it here. And boy, oh boy, they beat the shit out of each other in this one.
Oh my God.
Oh, I felt so bad for Mercedes when, Nico kicked out of, I don't even what she hit. Some kind of like Michinoku driver type thing. And, she kicked out and Mercedes looked crushed and, what a great
moment. I think that was that the Fisherman Buster?
Oh yeah, the Fisherman Buster. Fuck yeah.
Oh, and the great thing about that was that like she kept going for it throughout the match and she would keep getting countered. Like she would like keep grab her and then like no counter. And then finally at the end, she like hit the Fisherman's Buster, boom. And then she kicked out and Mercedes was like, oh my God, fuck. Like she had like been waiting for that moment. Like this is it. She nailed it. And then she still kicked out. She was like, oh shit.
Now what do I do?
That was great. That was a great near fall. Yeah. She was great selling that near fall.
Yeah.
And yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Like I said, the early stuff was like, they were going in and out of holes and just being really smug about it. And then was it Mercedes slapped her directly in the ear.
She does.
And then shit was fucking on. Like, they just started beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, there was basically a point where Mercedes like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm on your level and I'm not here to lose. And then slaps her. And then, yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Not fucking around anymore. Bang. And yeah, it was just, yeah, they were so stiff with each other and just hammered each other. Oh my God. And also, the other cool thing about that match, what was it? It was a move. Oh, it was when Mercedes, I think, did that, the guillotine on the floor with the leg trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that was cool. I popped for that. That was a cool move. I literally have never seen that done before, so.
And that finish.
Yeah.
What did they call it? Scorpion kick? Was insane.
Yeah.
Like, it was.
It was like a step up scorpion kick. She stepped on her and then kicked her in the back of the head.
I know. Man. Oh yeah, that was like watching that on replay, because like you first see it and you're like, what the fuck? And then they show it in replay and like more slow motion stuff. And it's just like, I am going to step on your neck, jump in the air, and then come down with my foot on your head. It was that's a finish right there.
Pretty much. Yeah. That was, yeah. Oh, man.
So that ruled.
That's just that whole thing. Yeah, it was just so fucking good. Yeah. And then, and like, and the commentators, like, going off their shit the whole time. Like, Cole, you know, and his poor heart, like, for Mako the entire time. And then, like, and then, and Beth sitting there, like, sort of trying to stump for Mercedes as well, going, yeah, but, like, look at Mercedes, you know, and all this. And the entire time, Cole's just marking out. And then at the end, he was like, well, that's one of the greatest matches I've ever had the privilege to call, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and like, he probably believes that because he's been, like, such a Mako fanboy the entire time.
Yes. The only thing I didn't like on commentary, I think it was Michael Cole, but it might have been one of the other two. But they said, I'm not going to say it verbatim because I didn't write it down, but they said that WWE has been on the forefront of bringing Japanese wrestling to mainstream. With a straight face, this was said.
Well, that's a skill as a commentator, to be able to say that with a straight face.
So. Like, who fed him that line? Like,
oh, fucking God knows. I know, but they're just, WWE's in a WWE, like, what can you do?
Insane. So that was the first show, and I gotta say, after I watched that, I think that is one of the best wrestling television episodes I might have ever seen in my life.
Oh yeah. I agree with you. Like, I completely lost my mind, and I know that I texted you immediately and was like, we need to yell about this.
You're like, tell me when you watch it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to bed. I fell asleep. I have to get up in the morning.
I know, yeah.
I was like, damn it, I can't watch this till tomorrow.
I didn't want to, like, spoil anything or, like, give away anything, but I was just like, okay, just tell me when you've watched it so that I can speak. And then started screaming.
As much as you can scream on Facebook Messenger. But you did a good job.
Oh, you know.
So
I can scream, baby.
Yeah, so that was good. I really like that. But I gotta say, episode 2 was probably, oh, it was really good too. I'm not gonna complain about it. And I think it didn't have anything as low as the Lacey Lane match, which wasn't bad, but it was lower. And it had quite a few highs too. And some of my favorite wrestlers in the world. So I thought episode 2 was fucking awesome as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as well. Like you said, like, yeah, it's, there was sort of less highs, but also less lows. It was sort of but it was a very, very good hour of television again, you know, once again. Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
And so we start off with Io Shirai, and I don't know what they're calling her in WWE, but I believe her name is Zeuxis or Zeuxis or Zuke or I don't know how many. There was at least 4 names they called her during this match. Like, between the...
Yeah, they went off the rails with her name in this. Yeah, because like you said, now that you've mentioned it, it's all I can hear when she came out. Like, I was just like, every single time they would say it differently, and it would drive me nuts.
I swear,
and
Michael then, Cole himself, and the worst thing is, he said it 3 different ways in the same match.
Yeah. And then the others started doing it too. And then the worst thing is, by the end of the match, Cole was calling Io Shirai.
Yeah, he's fucked up Io Shirai's name too. I meant to comment on that.
Anything by the end of it.
Like, what happened here?
He lost it. He lost his grasp of, I was about to say the English language, but to be fair, it's not the English language. No. So, you know, but yeah, that was wild how they were pronouncing things in that match.
But
the match itself was pretty good, and Zeuxis, as I'll go with, definitely redeemed herself from round 1, which was rough. But this was really good and really hard-hitting. And my favorite Well, one of my favorite moments of the match was when she drop-kicked the absolute shit out of Io off the apron.
She certainly did. They were fuck. And not to be outdone, the fucking double knees by Io into Zooksies in the corner.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Because Zooksies did her double knees in the corner first, and like the big running double knees, and then Io like got the upper hand back and was like, you want to do double knees, bitch? This is double knees. And went like bang out of the sky and then bang the running double knees, like in revenge. I was like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah, I really like this. And the intensity.
It's a double knee off.
The double knee off, as we're calling it. yeah, this was a hell of a match. I really enjoyed it too. And perfect for a tournament. Like, standalone, if you booked Zooksies versus Io Shirai, you know, this is not what I'd want, but like as a part of a tournament, it's absolutely perfect.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there was, yeah, speaking of, yeah, how stiff it was, there was another moment in the match, maybe it was at the finish, I'm not sure, when Io, it's not so much that she drop-kicked her in the face, but I'm pretty sure she drop-kicked her through the face, like out to the other side, like this, like, it was insane. I think it was the one that like set up the finish, and oh my God,
that's what I,
so good. She still whiffed on the fucking moonsault.
That's what I didn't get. Like,
Io's moonsault is wild.
It is out of control. She's used to doing it from like the balcony in Carnegie Hall, so it's a little different from doing it inside the ring. But it's very bizarre to me that like all when they talk about Io Shirai, like all they talk about is how great a high flyer she is, and it's like, she's motherfucking stiff. What are you talking about? She'll beat the shit out of you.
Well, it's she's like, she's always been like the stiffest wrestler in the whole tournament so far.
But they're talking about
the shit that she's throwing.
Like, she's a high, like she's great Suzuki.
Yeah, because she does dives, and like they only know like one way to
to talk about
anyway.
Next up.
I did enjoy her tope as well.
Oh, yeah, that actually was really good. Before too.
She did that tope, and then it was perfect because Cole said suicide dive at the exact moment that she, like, spiked herself on her head. <It's> when she did it.
That was a.
It was just poetry.
That was.
Anyway, you can be
that fun. Was quite the dive. Yeah, so next up we got Deonna Purrazzo, who I love, and Xia Li, who is growing on me. She wasn't quite as impressive here. Less flipping kicks, which disappointing. But Deonna really showed off her that nickname, Virtuoso, is like so perfect for like a masterclass ace technical wrestler. It's really good. She's like fucking Dean Malenko, now that I think about it, out there. Just tying people up.
Careful how you say that.
What? Oh, yeah.
Careful how you say
Marty
that.
Yeah, Marty Scroll might get mad at me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's...
Sorry.
Throwing me off here. But, yeah, she's like that technical ace that you don't really see in WWE television, like, ever. Like, they try to push people as technical aces, but... It's like Shawn Michaels or Kurt Angle who don't do any technical wrestling. So it's really nice to see someone come along, and she's in NXT now. So we're going to see more of this, which is great. And she gets to move on to the next round to face Io Shirai. If I'm looking that correctly. Yeah. So that's the match of the next round. That's insane.
That's going to roll. Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. What did you think here?
Was a fun little match. Like, yeah, like you said, like Xia Li did less flipping kicks, but she still looked really good, like just in general. And I'm like super, super impressed with how good she is now after, like, you know, after a year, basically. I thought she was really good. She got to escape the armbar when Purrazzo first put it on, and that was like a cool little moment. And yeah, she looked really good. And yeah, Deonna Purrazzo is fantastic. And I love that sort of grappling shit.
Yeah.
that she does, you know, and then gets out and does a bow. Like, that shit, I like that. And, she's gonna rule on NXT. And, it wasn't sort of, like, super, you know, it was, but the fantastic thing was that finish, when she not only put the armbar back on, but then, like, hooked the other arm and turned it into, like, fucking some rings of satin shit. It was amazing.
It's the super Fujiwara armbar, I guess.
Yes.
I liked, you talked about Xia Li's escape of the armbar. Like, just the reaction of it by the two competitors was pretty good, too. It was like, oops, I shouldn't have escaped that. Now I'm fucked. So that's really good. Then we get they did this on the first show too, a really short match, in the third spot before the longer main event. But this is Tegan Knox and Nicole Matthews, and it's weird because Matthews is such a veteran, and she went out there and went out there to beat the shit out of Tegan Knox, which she did a good job doing.
Yes.
The one thing I didn't get, so Tegan Knox is supposed to be like this baby face, right, that we love. And the whole match, they're talking about her knee injury, and Matthews is beating the shit out of her knee. And like, oh, she's wearing a knee brace, so it's a target. And like, what can you do with a knee brace? So she hits a Shining Wizard with the knee brace. And I think it was Renee Young is like, that's what you do with a knee brace. That's like fucking cheating. She's using the knee brace as a weapon. She's like Iron Mike Sharp with the forearm pad. It's ridiculous.
It's not cheating, Stephen. It's a regulation knee brace that has been checked and approved by the match official. All right. She's, you know, she has to wear it.
Okay. But like, that's a Bob Orton Jr.
No, actually, no.
Myron Mike Sharp. Owen Hart, when he had the cast on his arm. Like, it's such a heel move.
Well, I don't think it's quite like that because it's fake. Like, lots of wrestlers wear knee braces in the ring and they end up using them when they use their legs and stuff. Like it's fine. I think it's only because they drew attention to it, but I actually kind of liked that they drew attention to it, like the conversation that they were having with Beth about how, like, okay, so what's it like wearing a knee brace in the ring? And, like, you know, does it affect you? Do you use it, you know, do you use it on offense? Like, you know what I mean? And she was like, you know, well, it's made of metal, so, you know, if you happen to use it as a weapon, then, you know, okay. And then it turned out, like, she, boom, hit her with that knee in the finish, and Beth was like, well, that's what you do. Like, I actually liked that part of it. I thought it was interesting that they, like, that they brought it up and, you know, and kind of didn't, they acknowledged that instead of like just ignoring the fact that she hit her with the knee brace. Like, I thought that part was cool. And I also enjoyed, Nicole Matthews beating the shit out of her.
She's like,
she's like the prototypical
Canadian woman wrestler. I think just seems like so Canadian.
For a second, I thought you were going to be like the prototypical Canadian woman. And I was like, whoa, dude, what's going on up there?
They beat the shit out of us every chance they get.
That's why you guys are so nice and timid. You're just terrified all the time.
No comment. But yeah, so this was a short, fun match. Both looked really good. Tegan Knox, you know, she's someone they want to showcase. And it's nice that they're giving people like Nicole Matthews, who will probably never appear in WWE television again, a chance to at least look good and, you know, get some more money on the indies, making a little bit more of a name for herself. So that's kind of nice of them.
Yeah. Well, especially now, did you hear what happened to her?
No.
Oh, she, I think what happened was that she got busted working in the US without a proper visa. So she's now banned from the U.S. for 5 years.
She's like Speedball Mike Bailey, who's banned from the U.S.
She's exactly like Speedball Mike Bailey. Yeah.
Man.
So I think of. But yeah, she actually, will definitely not be on WWE TV anytime soon, true. Unfortunately. That sucks for her. Yeah.
Mike Bailey would be on WWE television right now if he didn't get, like, not allowed to enter the States. for a couple more years.
Yeah, like, that's it. That's the one thing holding him back.
It is. He's fucking awesome. I don't know if you've really seen much of him.
A little, but like, I'm just fucking
He is one of my favorite wrestlers to watch live. Really great. Another wrestler that I love to watch live is Mia Yim. And I saw her, you know, a little bit, but after I saw her live and she kind of took on this more heelish persona, she's become one of my favorite wrestlers, and she's so fucking great. And she's taken on your girl, Caitlin. And what did you think of this one?
I loved this so much. Like, even beyond, like, my wildest dreams that I was expecting to. Like, because I know it's my girl, Caitlin. But, like, I really, really love this. So I thought this is, like, one of the most interesting matches we've had so far. From the, like, the competing, like, the handwork and the legwork.
I felt like this had the best story of any of the matches so far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When Mia came out with her hand taped up and because, like, they didn't really play it up enough in the first round that she'd, like, broken her hand, it seemed. But she came out here with it taped up and then, like, I liked that the first thing she did was throw a chop with the bad hand, because it was like she was like testing it out, seeing like, can I actually use this? And she went bang chop and was like, fuck, that hurt. And she was like, okay, not using that anymore. And then, you know, and then they went on, and then she found the way to trap Caitlin on the apron and like bang her knee and start working the knee as like an equalizer, which, oh my God, I absolutely love that in a match when like they have like competing like limb work going on. Like, oh, that shit is so good. I was going nuts. And like, and then that moment, absolutely out of my mind, that moment when like Mia was like mounting her and like throwing all these strikes, and then she threw one with her right hand and it hurt, and Caitlin was like, do it again. And he's like, and so the first thing you think she's like trying to do some like fighting spirit bullshit, but like, no, she was just suckering her in so like she would punch the mat with her bad hand. And it was like so genius, and I loved it so much. And if I hadn't already fallen in love with Caitlin in May, I would have fallen in love with her right at this moment. It just happened all over again. And then and then Caitlin turned around and start beating the shit out of her, and like, and then twisting her hand back and trying to break her fingers and shit, and just, oh, that is the good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Oh.
And then
Mia, like, sort of made her comebacks by, like, targeting the knee when she could, and Caitlin selling the knee. Like, even when Caitlin, like, first, when she did that and then started making her comeback, she tried to pick her up and then her knee buckled.
Yeah.
Like, the first move she did. And it was only when she like really went on her babyface comeback and got the adrenaline that she started like actually being able to like use her knee and pick her up for things. I thought that was really, really cool.
What I liked another thing about this was, so Mia Yim is this great heel, but like, and I feel like in the first round she kind of was, but like here she was total, like she could turn it into a total babyface, or like she can turn it on and off. Like in the same match, make the crowd hate her or love her. Like, who do you think had the sympathy in this match? Like, it could have gone either way. And I thought that was.
Yeah, well, that's. Yeah. No, that's, you're right. And like, it's sort of. It was a great sort of nuance about it that, like, even though, you know, Caitlin's the baby face, me is the heel, at least on paper, like, they were both suffered injuries and they sort of were both going through, you know, these kind of hardships during the match. And the crowd was sort of like, was sort of half and half as well. Like half of them liked Mia and half of them liked Caitlin. They were dueling chants and stuff. And it sort of all made for a very cool picture, like all up. But yeah, like they were sort of both going through these struggles and then like one of them just, you know, just survived it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, that, like that finish. Oh my God. Like when they're in the waist lock and Caitlin literally like, elbows her hand with the point of her elbow right in the back of her hand, like picture perfect. It was so good. And then bang, it hits the spear, and I started screaming right here in my room because I thought she'd won.
Yeah.
I full on thought this is the finish, and then she kicked out, and I was so mad because then I knew she would lose.
That was a hell of a near fall.
And then Mia gets Oh, such a good new foe. Because I think the crowd bought it too. Like, Caitlyn hits the spear, boom, that's her finish. You know, they recognize that. And, like, and I completely lost it. And then she kicked out, and Caitlyn, like, screamed when she kicked out. And I was like, yes, I know. Like, and then, boom, she just got the knee bar on from underneath. And, you know, and so in, like, the duel between the injuries, like, you know, Mia won out in the end. Just from, you know, just from being, like, the more technical wrestler, you know what I mean? And sort of finding that submission to put on. Like, that was, I thought that was really cool, the whole aspect of it. And, yeah, I love this match.
Me too. What?
And I'm glad that, like, Caitlyn got the nice send-off and they hugged and, like, the crowd was chanting for her and stuff. So that was
yeah, it was a nice little moment there at the end. Like, and Caitlyn was, like, halfway gone when Mia, like, went to the apron and was like, come back here.
Yeah.
You know? You gotta eat your props. Yeah. It's really interesting because she, I don't think I ever remember Caitlyn, but like, I don't remember her having a rep as someone who was this good, or this capable. And I don't know because we never saw, I can't remember Serena Deeb. We never saw her again after the Mae Young Classic last year, so I don't know if we'll see Caitlyn again, but I don't see why she couldn't have a run on NXT or something and just to see what you got if she's up to it. I don't know what her life is like right now, but she's clearly motivated to do well, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's it. Like, and I saw they interviewed her afterwards, and the whole interview, it was like, oh, well, when are you coming back? You know what I mean? So it was that, they framed it in that way. So I think the company would be open to it, I guess. Like, and so, yeah, it depends if she's open to it and whatever's happening with her life, I guess. But yeah, I think they're not closing the book on her as like, oh, this was a one and done. So hopefully it does mean that she pops up somewhere. Like even if she like pops up in the Rumble, you know, like something like that.
No.
As, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I definitely hope that she does more because, yeah, I I have like gone, you know, to the moon and back with her this year, and I'm very glad that she's come back and done this, and she looks fantastic. You're right. Like she really has looked good in the ring, especially with Mia, and
well, she's a lot smarter.
I'm like, super.
She's very there was some very clever stuff in this match. I don't know if it was all like, you know, it might have been Mia is such a veteran and knows so much that she was, you know, came up with all the clever stuff herself, but she more than
no, but I mean, like, even like, you know, like, I've said it so many times, but like, from rewatching her stuff now from her first run, like, the last sort of 12 months or so of her run, like, 2013, like, she actually did get really, really good. And she actually was really quite a good babyface, you know, and would just sell really well and bump really well and do all this kind of cool stuff in matches. So yeah, I completely believe that she is capable of something like this now, and I'm just happy that she's getting to show it. Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to the quarterfinals. Okay, so we'll run this down. So I don't think we're going to do an episode after the quarterfinals because that's only like four matches. But we'll do something before Evolution and before the finals, for sure. But let's run down what we got. Yeah. We got Miko Satomura versus Lacey Lane. Who do you got?
I like how even after Lacey Lane won. No, Lacey won first. Then after Mako won, Cole was like, Lacey Lane, good luck. like, even they are like, you have no fucking chance in hell. Like, and yeah, like, I mean, they cannot possibly, you know.
What if they want to make Lacey?
Dude, don't even like put that thought out into the universe. Okay. Like, don't tempt them.
Well, it's over.
We know they're listening to this. Okay. Already, don't tempt them. Well, actually, that's true. It's in the past.
Yeah. So
I assume Mako
wins. Me as well.
but I'm actually like, As much as this is like the weakest match on paper because of Lacey Lane, but like I'm actually really super interested as to like how Maker deals with her. You know what I mean? Like how much she gives her and how they play off the fact that there's such a wide gulf between them. You know, like I think it'll be fun, like fun to watch.
Do you know if but the quarterfinals is one?
She should also kill her.
Is the quarterfinals 1 hour or is it 2 episodes?
I'm guessing that next week is the quarterfinals all in one show, like the 4 matches. And then I'm guessing the semis are on the next one and get more time.
Okay, so then
I can, that's my guess.
So that one's got to be like 2 minutes. So they have more time for the other.
That one's got to be the short match.
So they have more time.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. In the
Mako will give her a really good 4 minutes. That's like,
true. So the winner of that match faces the winner of Toni Storm and Mia Yim. Which.
Oh, yes.
So.
That's fucking sick.
So. Obviously, well, they just signed Mia, but Tony's been signed before. I think Tony is gonna win, but that match is gonna fucking roll. Tony versus Mia. I'm very excited for that. I don't think I've never seen those two face off before, so that's gonna roll. And then, yeah, in the semifinals, Miko versus Tony. I've seen that before, and it rules. God. So I'm very excited for it to happen again.
Awesome.
I would think Tony would go over there because she seems to be the chosen one here, and Miko's the veteran to make them.
Yeah, better. From
but that's a hell of a semifinals there.
Oh yeah, I realized that like after they sort of won their second round matches that like oh this side of the draw is Miko and Tony, like oh my god, and I was already freaking out about it. Like, that's gonna roll.
Yeah. So on the other side.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. And I think that's what the bucket is. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So that's fucking awesome. So I'm excited for that. On the other side, we got Tegan Nox versus Rhea Ripley in a match I have no fucking idea who's gonna win. Do you have any idea?
I do. This is one thing that has been spoiled for me in the whole. Okay.
So I'm gonna say
I now know something, so I'm just gonna shut my mouth for you.
Well, remember I knew the finals, but this is kind of obvious. I would assume Tegan Nox would go over here. I'm gonna say Tegan Nox goes over there, and you're gonna say Rhea Ripley, so that we have a conflict here.
Yeah, and also Rhea's the guy.
Exactly.
I'm all in on Rhea. Anyway.
So the winner of that faces Io Shirai versus Deonna Purrazza in a match that is straight out of my dreams and is going to rule. Very much looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. And I think because, like, Io has, like, not necessarily been having, like, not good matches, like, but she hasn't really had, like, much of a showcase with another sort of top guy. Like, she hasn't had one of those, like, big main event matches so far. Yeah, she's been
early on in the show.
Like, even the main event she had, it was very short. Yeah. And then, you know, and then she opened with Zixi. So, like, I think this might be her chance to actually, like, go all out and sort of... And really, really show what she can do.
You close the show with Io versus Deonna or Tony versus Mia?
I think you give it to Io. Like, if I was booking the show.
Yeah.
But maybe not, because I think the good thing about Mia vs. Caitlyn being the last match was that I honestly wasn't sure who was going to go over. Especially as the match went on as well. And so, like, I think maybe you do Tony vs. Mia because that might be the most in-doubt result. Oh, but I suppose, no, but Tegan and Rhea is a bit...
That one's the most in-doubt match for me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, no, I take it back. So, yeah.
So
But I think Io is a more obvious winner than Tony.
Yeah.
So, like, but like I said, I think you got to sort of give Io a bit more of a showcase.
Yeah.
At some point during this thing, like before they get to the finals, if she's getting to the final, because like she's been good. Like I'm not like saying she hasn't, but like she hasn't had like an all out like showing off thing yet, and I think she should have that at some point, whether it's the quarters or the semis.
Well, in the semis, I guess it'd be like Io versus Rhea or Tegan. So yeah. I think
and they'll get more time in the semis.
Yeah, but I think her match with Deonna, she could have a better match.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I think you give them, like, the big, like, 12-minute match, you know what I mean? Like, on the show next week. So
that makes sense.
Hopefully.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a hell of a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And then
it's just, like, yeah, just bomb-ass match after bomb-ass match.
Yeah. And then we'll have Evolution, which they changed one of the matches into a tag match and haven't really announced anything else. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. But
yeah, they are absolutely watching this pay-per-view, but
are we surprised?
Whatever. Like, but like, I'm absolutely not surprised. But like, I think it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, the build is really been shitty so far. Like, it's been non-existent. And except for Becky and Charlotte. Yeah. Like, that's the one thing that actually built up.
You have Becky versus Charlotte in a last woman standing match. That's going to fucking roll. You have Rousey versus...
Oh my god, did you...
Sorry.
I was just going to say, did you see Becky and Charlotte on SmackDown?
I saw the YouTube version, and it looked fucking awesome, but...
It fucking ruled. Like, oh my god, like the pace they were working for 25 minutes was fucking insane, and Last Man Standing is going to rule. Anyway, but yeah, sorry, yeah, go on.
Rousey versus Nikki Bella, Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler... the finals of this, the finals of the UK Women's Championship, and Lita and Trish versus Alexa and Mickey. So, like, the prep for this pay-per-view hasn't really been that great, but on paper, this is better than any WWE pay-per-view they've done all year. So.
Yeah. Like, the matches, that's what I mean. Like, the build has been shitty, but, like, once we actually get to the show, like, it's gonna rule. Like, cause like, the card will be fine.
The card's fucking...
It's just, it's more just like, the build up and like, the shitty, you know, the non-existent build for it. And so it's just, you're just gonna get there and have a bunch of matches. But like, once we get there, it's gonna be fun. So I'm still looking forward to it immensely.
Yeah, me too. Probably the most excited I am for a card all year. Definitely more excited than the DX reunion. That's, happening in the country that hates Canada right now, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, your enemies. Yeah.
Oh man, nothing is better than reading all the Saudi Arabia propaganda against Canada, where like they're talking about how we're like eating our zoo animals and stuff because we called them out for being horrible people or like having horrible rules against women, and so now they're trying to smear us against the world. It's hilarious.
And I like how they have to smear you guys by like just completely making shit up, because like no one can actually find anything that bad to say about Canada. Like, you guys are just like nice and polite and you're just there, so like, it's like they have to make up some wild shit.
It's really good. Yeah, so check out the Saudi Arabia propaganda against Canada. It's really fun. Yeah, and then we'll be back in like 2-3 weeks, something like that. When's this Evolution pay-per-view? October 28th. So.
28th.
So we'll be back in within the three
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
Any final words? You want to plug your Twitter? I never heard you plug your Twitter.
I can plug my Twitter. I don't
use it too much.
Twitter a lot, but I have been lately, actually. Yeah. I have been lately. I got some shit going on. Gay rights bullshit, as always. Anyway, yeah. it's like half women's sport, half wrestling, and then half... Okay, I just like mathematically...
Well, yeah, mine's like half there, Maple Leafs, half wrestling, half... political stuff too, so it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, so anyway, I am at women's sport, Sid. Women's sport, SYD. If you see the picture, I'm a girl in a fridge.
I just realized why it was Sid. Because,
yeah.
Like, for Sydney? Yeah, because where you live. Because I was like,
right,
your name is Stacy. Why are you going by Sydney now? I don't get it.
My alias. I can, well, because when I started it, it was to talk about all the women's sport that was happening in Sydney, and then it just sort of just became, you know, me.
Well, I'm not going to say anything. I was doing one of those role-playing wrestling things online, and my character was Stan Graham, so.
Stan Graham.
I changed my...
That's okay. Like, my username on Pro Wrestling Only is still Jimmy Redman, which is... And the reason I have that name is because it was my, like, creator wrestler name when I started playing video games. And that's why I just used it for all the wrestling sites.
I just started...
That's my alias. That's my actual alias.
Started playing WWE 2K19, and I started my career. And I'm the great character Tiger Doctor. So I'm a doctor who has the Tiger Mask.
That's outstanding. But like, that sounds like something that would actually exist in Lucha, though, which is the great thing about Lucha.
I have my Lucha mask,
like,
already.
I fully believe there would be like a Dr. Tiger Mask in Lucha somewhere.
I'm out of Mexico now. I'm invading NXT right now. That's where I'm at. But also, they fucking...
You just climb in the ladder already.
But, like, chapter 3, I'm getting attacked by the authors of pain. It's unfair. Like, they should be way up there. Like, I went from beating up one... Like, I beat up security guards, and then, because I'm invading, and then the very next thing I have to do is fight off the authors of pain. It's like, that's quite the leap.
You know what? Well, you have to remember, this is WWE, so this is like basically the Nexus style of storyline progression. They invade the first week and then get beat up by John Cena the next week.
This is the absolute best. So fucking 1 week I jump the rail and beat the shit out of Johnny Gargano. The next week I jump the rail and do a promo. Security comes down, beat the shit out of them, and then Triple H appears and goes, "Well, we're sending out the authors of pain to beat you up now." It's like, I don't think this is how it would work in real life.
No, but it would, because that's what happened to the Nexus.
That's true.
Literally, they only know one way to book anything.
That's true. Although they're...
You can only get heat on the company for 1 week, Max. That's it.
I do...
They don't sell.
I do appreciate the storylines. They were way more wacky and ridiculous than regular WWE. Like, there's a masked guy who attacked me, a fan caught me on camera, and I lost my NXT contract, and then shit like that. So, and there's zombies to come.
Yeah, so. The video game storylines are always better. Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to Triple H for Zombie coming after me. But we'll have to get there. Wow, this is off topic. Let's end this show. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Thanks everyone for listening, and hit us up on Twitter. Oh yeah, I'm Stephen Graham TWS on Twitter, so you can hit us up there to let me know if you enjoyed the show, or if you didn't and you don't want to hear it again, and maybe we'll stop.
Yeah, let's know.
Yeah, it sucks. We don't want to continue.
We went by.
We only want to do this if people like it. If people hate it, then tell us and we'll stop.
Yeah, don't leave us hanging like this. That's embarrassing.
Well, thank you for listening nonetheless, even if you hated us. And have a good morning or evening or whatever.